Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. And he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
continue with hymn number 636. Perry, you should maybe be seated. Grace to you in peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a guest with us who I am sure will be more interesting than I am, but it's also our worship service, and I'm enough of a preacher that I can't give over the pulpit without a few words. Our text today, in one of its themes, is perfectly suited. When Miss Howard called and asked about the date, I had to quickly look and see what the texts were, afraid that it might be a stewardship lesson or something like that. But I was delighted to find the parable of the wedding banquet, with its line, "Go, invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." That banquet has been prepared. The king has taken care of everything. All he desires is that his servants figure out how to make the hall full. There are lots of ways, and we can surely and do argue over those ways, but we don't argue over the basic. Come and see. Invite as many as you find. Miss Howard will share some of her experience and how we together as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are doing that. But in pondering this text this week, my attention kept getting pulled away from that main channel towards some of the eddies in the stream. Jesus tells these two strange parables back to back, the wicked tenants with their horror and the wedding feast with guests who don't want to come, to the extent that they act just like those wicked tenants. If we recall last week, the question was never if the vineyard was going to be fruitful. It was, and it will be, and it continues to be fruitful. The question was who would turn over the fruits? What is our attitude towards God? Do we withhold the fruit? Do we seek to kill the word sent to us? Imagine that if we shut up the word, it won't go out and the vineyard will remain ours. That we could steal the kingdom from the Son. Or do we welcome him gladly? That parable, as we pondered last week, is told more toward an audience of those who might be stewards of the vineyard. Shame on me if I refused to share you with our guest and her mission. But one of the eddies, I think, this week is more personal. The servants have gone out and filled the hall with good and bad. And the king enters. So I want you to get this picture in your mind. The bar has been open. Everybody has had a drink or two. The hors d'oeuvres are passing around. Everybody's looking great. Polished shoes, nice clothes, styled hair. And the king walks in, surveying the party. And in his glance, the royal gaze falls upon this one guy out of place. He's got some scruffy sneakers on to go with the big dog's t-shirt and torn-up jeans. His hair looks like he's just woken up, and he's guzzling blue light, leering at the bridesmaids. "Friend, how did you get in here without at least a sport coat on, covering that fine t-shirt?" We might find ourselves bogged down trying to answer what is the wedding garment. There are lots of nice, pious answers. We could say faith. We could say the righteousness of Christ. But let's not kid ourselves. As doctrinally correct as those are, that's not really what this scene is about. If you were hosting a wedding for your son or daughter, you'd killed the fatted calf, dropped a new car's worth amount of money, and this slacker you invited shows up looking like that, what is this about? It's simply a matter of respect. Everything has been prepared. We've been invited by grace. What do we think of that invite? How do we welcome God who has prepared it? Are we speechless as the wedding slob was? Or are we prepared with his word? Prepared to share the hope that lives within us to those who ask? Prepared to be salt and light? It's not the wedding garment itself that is the problem. Poor Lazarus in his rags would end up in the bosom of Abraham, while the rich man in all of his finery would end up in torment. It's what the lack of the wedding garment says in this case. I'm glad to enjoy the open bar while it's open. I'll play wedding crasher for the day, but I'm not really part of this. I'm not really welcoming the king. How are we dressed? Have we adorned ourselves with gladness? Are we speechless or ready with a gracious word? Enough for me. I'd like to introduce Miss Natalie Howard. Her home is Port Washington, Wisconsin, which sits hard against Lake Michigan, on the good side, as far as snow is concerned. But I don't think she's going to have much to worry about snow these days, as her mission assignment is in the Dominican Republic. I invite you to lend your ears and your attention as she shares with us some of her mission. Natalie?